Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My gosh, I learn something new every day, and I've already learned something before the show even takes off. Shout out to all the loopholes. Shout out to Houston. It's In the Loop, episode 155. So I'm going to shout out number one, Trevor Ariza. Number 55, Jason White Chocolate Williams, the inventor of the elbow pass, among other things. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, keeping us on the air.
Dikembe Mutombo.
3 days away. Shout out to Mutombo as well, a.k.a. Cookie Monster Voice. We are 3 days away from the Final Four in the NFL, John Lopez. We're going to get into a lot of storylines from that, including the battle of the meathead tight ends, including a guy, Travis Kelce, who changes the way he talks around different types of people. We're also going to listen to Sean Payton and Marcus Peters argue about gumbo. We're going to talk about why all the other teams playing this Sunday that are still in the playoffs rolled the dice on character concerns, but the Texans were unwilling to do so. Going to get into all that. But before we do that, I got to tell you, Johnny, I learned something about 10 minutes ago, and it might change my life forever.
Landry Locker, dot, 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 a whole lot of suck. Man, I am embarrassed to know you right now. I am completely...
Right now? Just right now?
Well, it comes and goes, but right now I am, for sure. You... were, what is the sports equivalent? Like, so cocky. Oh, I can do this. It's going to be a piece of cake. It's no problem at all. We're talking about the Hunt's challenge, the tomato ketchup challenge, Hunt's v. Hines. You're a Hines guy. You swear by Hines. Well, I think you swear by Hines.
I still do.
Maybe somebody, can switch them now. And,
I still do.
You'll never know.
Believe me, I still do.
You got so cocky. You were Larry Bird walking into the All-Star game.
But he actually won.
Three-point shootout.
But
yes.
He actually won.
And walking and saying, which one of you SOBs is going to finish second? Oh, I'm going to finish second, third, fourth, fifth, and last. You were so cocky. You said... all I have to do is smell it. You smelled one. You go, oh, I can tell you right now, that's Hunt's.
Yeah. I tried that. Let me just tell you this, John. this is what I've learned today. And I don't even know what to compare this to, but you know how sometimes there are some athletes that they only fit on a specific team? Like, but on any other team, they would suck, but they need to be around the right mix of players.
Edelman.
Yeah, like Julian Edelman.
I mean, that's not fair to him, yeah. But let's just use him as an example.
Yeah. I will say this. I love ketchup, and I still prefer Hines over Hunt's. But when I originally accepted this challenge from Mike and Seth, I thought maybe I would dip like a hash brown or a French fry into it and not just eat it out of a spoon, eat ketchup out of a spoon. Because when I touched the ketchup with my tongue, just barely even ate it. I'll tell you this right now. Ketchup by itself is the most disgusting thing in the entire world. I don't think there is anything in this world that is such a good thing on other stuff, such as chicken nuggets, such as French fries and everything, and takes it to the next level. But by itself is absolute garbage. Ketchup is disgusting by itself. I almost threw up. If I would have eaten that whole spoonful of ketchup, mm-hmm. I would have thrown up. I learned something new today. And I don't know if I like ketchup as much as I did before I did that. I've never eaten ketchup by itself. That's absolutely disgusting.
You know what I'm hearing, Figgy?
Excuses.
Blah, 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 blah. Captain Scott Null, by the way, the new Bite Me Fishing podcast, Texas Saltwater Fishing podcast, posted yesterday
up
afternoon.
Up to number six.
I don't know about that. We'll see. I'll keep you updated. He had the line of the day regarding your ketchup escapade, because he's a P1 listener. He listens to our show pretty much all day long.
Am I going to hate this?
You're going to despise this. This was your Letterman jacket game.
I can agree with that.
This was your Letterman jacket game.
I kind of think my Letterman jacket game was week one this year when a bunch of loopholes put 10,000
in
the account.
No, but you personally, that wasn't you on the field.
Yeah.
This was you walking in, strutting with that Big old Letterman.
He was pretty cocky.
He was pretty cocky.
I was very cocky, but I will tell you this. If we'd have dipped it in a fry, I would have won.
Okay.
Like, that's a promise.
Blah, 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 bro, blah, blah.
We need to start betting each other spoonfuls of ketchup. Like, whenever we lose, I'm serious.
Or cinnamon.
Loser, no, I'm serious. The loser, like, whenever we disagree with something, me, you, and Figgy, whenever we're going to make a bet, the loser has to eat a spoonful of ketchup. I'm serious, man.
It's not that bad.
You want to do it right now?
No.
Figgy, go get a spoonful of ketchup.
I said no.
Well, let's see, because you're saying it's not that bad. It's absolutely disgusting. Just like the Rockets yesterday. The Rockets yesterday, they fall to the Brooklyn Nets in overtime. They basically wet the bed. You can choke games away, but when you do it twice like the Rockets did yesterday, pretty bad loss by the Rockets. Eric Gordon makes his return. He leaves the game. Clint Capella and Chris Paul, they're out. The Rockets were up 127-119 with 109 remaining in the fourth. Mm-hmm. They ended up going to overtime, and then they were up 7 with 128 remaining in OT. And all this could have been avoided if Mike D'Antoni, who I love, but I'm a fair guy. You know I love Mike D'Antoni.
You know
I love Laurel. I don't think he gets enough credit, but when you're up 3 with 12 seconds left like the Rockets were and you don't foul, the level of moronic cannot even be explained. I don't understand why every coach in the world would not, in that situation, up 3 with 10 seconds or less remaining, foul. And Mike D'Antoni didn't do it. The Nets sent it to overtime, and the Rockets completely wet the bed, despite the fact James Harden had 58 points, 2 points off a career high, and in his 18th straight game of 30 points or more.
I do understand, contrary to you, I do understand why they don't foul in that situation.
Why? Explain it.
Because coaches are afraid, especially when you can when they inbound the ball at midcourt or closer.
It was a full court, though.
I understand that, but what I'm saying, especially then, they're afraid that the guy's going to try to catch and turn and get off a shot before you you can foul them, and then that becomes either a 4-point play or you're giving
them
three free
throws. All you got to do is
foul. No, I'm just saying I understand why they do that.
You can't understand that, John. You're too smart to understand that.
No, I do understand. I would do that. Like if you're down, if you're up 3 and they're bringing the ball in at, let's say, 3/4 court or midcourt. Foul if they throw it to the back
foul
court.
Foul the second he gets it.
But if they throw
it
to the front court,
foul.
They could catch and turn before. You don't know what a player is going to do and how quick they're going
to
get there.
We're going to do a drill on how to do it. You got to foul. It got me to thinking, though, John, because we like to throw this kind of stuff out on In the Loop all the time. We did it yesterday with the fan experience. But what are some other dumb things that coaches do that drive you nuts? Because I think not fouling up 3 is at the very top of my list. I have another list, other stuff that I think coaches not doing is absolutely moronic.
I was never a fan of calling a timeout. I'm still talking basketball, right?
Okay, you can talk any sport you want.
All right, but calling a timeout to set up your last second. Like, let's say they score a bucket, just get the ball and go back up court. I hate that. Why call timeout and let them set up their defense when you should have a last second play that you've worked on every practice session? A last second full court play, a last second half court play, inbounds play from underneath the basket. That wouldn't matter, but don't call timeout after a made bucket. That drives me nuts.
These are a few things that drive me nuts that coaches do. If you want to get in, 713-572-4610. Not fouling up 3 is at the very top of the list. I love you, Mike D'Antoni, but that was dumb. Or maybe your team was dumb and they didn't do it, because I've seen you do it before. Not running the ball inside the 5. I know that a lot of teams pass inside the 5. I just prefer to line up and run the rock a couple times. That's just my thing. Run the rock inside the 5. Rushing punts. I think rushing punts at midfield is, especially when it's 4th and 5 or less or something like that. I know very rarely do punts get blocked. I think there is so much more risk than the actual reward. I would always play return
also,
if I was
but
a head coach.
That depends on the situation and the score, I think. I will say something that really drives me nuts, and I never – two things, all right? Now we're going to football. When you're – let's say you have 1st and goal at the 3, okay?
Yes.
And you pack everybody in tight. Well, you got 2 tight ends, a fullback. You got the wide receivers like a wing, tight wing.
When you spread them out,
spread them out and
you.
Run the ball. Spread them out and run the ball.
I'm with you on that.
That's number one. And then the other one is when you're like when you're trying to spike the ball late in a game, and the guys are just and you don't call two. Well, let me put it this way: it's probably better.
Basically, Bill O'Brien in a hurry-up offense.
Right. You don't call two plays. You know, when you know, like, let's say you come out of a timeout. You get the ball. They kick off the return. The return goes to the 35-yard line. You know you're out of timeouts. And you don't call two plays after the, you know, right out of the shoot. You call one play and then spike it. Why? Call two plays, bang, bang, because they're gassed as well.
Or what about when it's a situation where, let's say that you're down a touchdown with like 4 minutes left, mm-hmm. and you just talk to your team, and then all of a sudden fourth down comes out and the punt team's going out, and then you decide to leave the team out. You should know if you're going for it immediately.
Right.
That should be thinking ahead. Also, not bunting with the runner on first and second. I know a lot of baseball guys disagree with this. I would always bunt with the runner on first
depends
and second.
On, depends on score and situation. Again, with that, with me on that. Another one for me that is really irritating. Let's say, you know, you're down 4 points, okay? And on third down, you you pass, say it's third and six, all right? And you're down 4 points. And you pass the ball 15 yards downfield and it's incomplete. I think coaches, not enough coaches, decide they're going for it on fourth down.
And run the ball?
On third down.
Right.
You need to decide you're going for it on fourth down before third down so you can use your entire playbook.
Think ahead. Yeah. Think ahead. Taking timeouts to save 5 yards in close games. I think when it's third and three or something like that and you're trying to come from behind, let's say you're down 14 points, letting it be third and eight and having your timeout left is more valuable than saving 5 yards. Because the difference between third and three and third and eight, I know it's 5 yards, but a timeout is worth more than 5 yards. Too many coaches do that. Like, you can convert on third and eight, mm-hmm. but that timeout, you're not getting back. And if you kill that timeout, you're not going to have it later in the game. I don't understand why some of these coaches, some of them even do it to save 5 yards on a punt.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. That's another thing that drives me absolutely crazy. But Mike D'Antoni, you're better than you were yesterday. Rockets lose. Tough loss for them. Another good game for James Harden, but you should be better than that. You looked a lot like Bill O'Brien yesterday at the end of that game, and that's not the company you want to be in when it comes to late game management. Coming up next, Gumbo Gate is in full effect. Marcus Peters has responded to Sean Payton, and we'll let you know if it got chippy or not. Plus, we're going to shout out to a loophole that is fighting the fight that has impacted us all.
You guys have got to listen to this.
That's next on In the Loop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.